The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Radio's Gil Alexander, everybody. And the return of Kelly Bidlin.
Hey, how we doing?
From assignment.
That's right, from assignment.
Where were you on assignment, by the way? We always wanted to know.
All around. Fountain Blue, down
nice.
At the M. maybe around at the Bellagio at a bad time this weekend.
What'd you learn? Yeah. Anything?
No, nothing. No, just killed brain cells. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Glad to have you back. It's U.S. Open week.
Glad to be back. Glad to be back together.
Yeah, man. Reunited, and it feels so good.
That's right.
On the show today, Mark Borchardt on Major League Baseball. Kelly's got some U.S. Open golf thoughts. Drew Dinsick in his new Tuesday spot, which is in hour number 2, talking to NBA and some tennis with us. Maybe we'll review the French Open briefly, but we'll talk tennis if he's got any grass court plays today. And, of course, the NBA Finals. And Paul Bruno from RotoWire to talk NHL Stanley Cup Finals with us. By the way, did you see this game last night? National Hockey League?
It was crazy.
Oh, wait, before we get to that, can I just have a bone to pick with a tweet that was read just before, as I'm driving in today, just before we got here, committing my 3 to 5 on average traffic violations on the way in. Don't do that, boys and girls. You're not driving a rocket ship like I am. And then Dave Ross reads this Jason Stark tweet. Jason Stark, one of our great listeners here at VSiN through the years. We love Jason Stark. And he says, he was talking about some Jeff Schwartz quote about the Steelers. And he says, you know, watch how all these, you know, the VSiN hosts are. He cited us as two VSiN hosts that have lost money betting against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I just want to immediately disassociate myself with you because I did it once. Yes, last year, I absolutely faded the Steelers. And that, you know, nipped me in the butt. But you have made a career of doing this, yes?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know where you were going with this at first because you said you were going to address it.
He just coupled me in with you like I've been doing it for 10 years.
I was going to say, there is nothing inaccurate about Jason's tweet. It is, but yes, if I was in Gil's shoes, I would probably want to distance myself a little bit, too. I believe it's... I think it was 3 years in a row under win totals.
There you go. Yeah. 3 in a row.
And how many did I miss by a half game or something? Yeah. I think it was at least 2.
God forbid I let that stand. Anyway, to the hockey.
The problem is you know, Gil, what is it, June 10th?
Oh, yeah, it's coming.
For the next 2 months.
I was going to say, that said, what could go wrong with Aaron Rodgers?
For the next 2 months, you're going to have to talk me out of betting the under on that.
I'm so with you.
Because it's the only way I could bet that.
I'm so with you. This is the hockey last night, because we will talk to Paul Bruno about this later on the show. But it was game three last night, in the Stanley Cup final. And Florida takes a 2-1 lead in the best of 7 over Edmonton with a 6-1 shellacking. But this game was marred completely. By the way, Florida cashes as a closing -142 favorite in this. This took money all day. But it was marred by Edmonton's 85 penalty minutes. They had 16 penalties in the third period alone when a melee broke out, an old-fashioned Donnybrook.
For the first, how many total fights were in the third period?
Oh,
I don't even
know. God.
The first one or two, I was like, all right, guys, like, come on. It's a blowout. Like, let's just go. Let's finish this game. But I was into it by, like, the third and fourth fight.
Oilers end up with 21 penalties. 21 penalties for 85 penalty minutes in the loss. I'm no hockey hockey expert, but I'm just going to throw this out there. Maybe stay out of the penalty box. You're going to want to win this series.
Mm-hmm.
That is, by the way, 85 penalty minutes, the most any team has recorded in a Stanley Cup final game in nearly 40 years, since the Montreal Canadiens had 90 penalty minutes in 1986 in a game where their opponent, the Calgary Flames, had 86 on the same night. That was game 4 of the 1986 Stanley Cup final. Who could forget it? And that remains the most of any team in Stanley Cup final history, but we pushed it last night with that. Many will remember the Panthers had 84 penalty minutes game 2 of the Stanley Cup final against the Golden Knights a couple years ago. Locals will remember that.
But this
even exceeded that. So that was what marred this game. And I don't know that we have any more clarity when it comes to a Conn Smythe winner if Florida does end up winning this series and beat the Oilers in a second straight season in the Stanley Cup Finals, because the goals were scattered for the Panthers yesterday. But Edmonton gonna have to get off the proverbial schneid. This looked like, or at least it felt like to me, that they, I mean, they were on the cusp of it, right, in game two, and they did not get it done in overtime, and now Florida in the driver's seat. Florida, a minus 260 series favorite now, up 2-1.
Sam Bennett, your favorite in the Conn Smythe market now, plus 175. Connor McDavid, plus 250.
And Leon Draisaitl now back to 12-1. So the number I have is not even as good as it is now. Not even as favorable.
What do you got, nine?
Nine, yeah. 9-1. Bennett plus 175. Connor McDavid plus 250. Marchand, who scored first yesterday, he's 4-1. Bobrovsky in goal at plus 450. And then Draisaitl at 12-1. So there you go with Conn Smythe, which is definitely still all up in the air. College World Series. We have the bracket. We have eight teams settled on. Six different conferences represented and an independent. So only the SEC ends up with two teams, Arkansas and LSU, and they play each other. So if one of them is to win the College World Series, they will have to do it from the proverbial quote-unquote loser's bracket within their bracket number two. Arkansas is the short shot to win the College World Series at 2-1, LSU plus 230. After those two teams got by, LSU made quick work of West Virginia. Arkansas continued their tormenting of Vols ace Liam Doyle. So those two teams got through. Also in bracket two, you have the upstart Murray State out of the Missouri Valley. Murray State was the last team to advance. They did so yesterday in Durham, where they broke Duke's heart. And this was a prop that we talked about. Jensen Lewis brought this up. Jensen and Dave Ross, the co-host of By the Books, which precede us. Jensen brought up, you know, will a regional four seed get to the College World Series? And I want to say it was 9-1. Well, it cashes with the Murray State Racers. They are Omaha bound for the first time in program history. Was just a was a great game three. The Racers thought they had eliminated the Blue Devils on an interference double play. Call was overturned, but they still got through. They are the first regional four seed to advance the Men's College World Series since 1999. That's in the 64-team tournament era, joining Fresno State 2008, Stony Brook in 2012, and Oral Roberts in 2023. And if you recall, Fresno State actually won it all back in 2008. So Murray State takes on UCLA. UCLA got some uncharacteristically good pitching in the Super Regional. So it's UCLA and Murray State in the first matchup in Bracket 2, along with Arkansas and LSU. And in Bracket 1, you then have Coastal Carolina out of the Sun Belt. Murray State out of the Missouri Valley. Coastal Carolina out of the Sun Belt. All these conferences represented. They will take on Coastal Carolina, which beat Auburn in two thrillers down at Auburn. They'll take on Arizona out of the Big 12. Arizona reaching the College World Series for the first time in the Chip Hale era. So that will be one matchup in Bracket 1, Coastal Carolina and Arizona. And then the other one will be Oregon State, the one independent in this, taking on Louisville. Louisville got by Miami. Eddie King Jr. very hot hitting for Louisville. So those are the eight teams. And I made my three bets early on. I had Vandy. I had Northeastern as my big long shot at 125-1. And I had Texas. No, no, and no.
Yeah,
and this is not a sport where I am inclined to put bad money after bad money, because to me, it's anybody's ball game here.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see, you know, what some of our guests have to say over the next couple of days about this field, because it is it's interesting to me where we talked about how SEC heavy this was, right, heading into the start of the tournament. Regionals get a little wacky, super regionals.
What was
little,
it 13 teams when it all started, I believe?
Something like that, yeah. So, I mean, it's just, I'm staring at that schedule, and it's like, do you, you know, you get a winner LSU, Arkansas, you move into that, you know, winner's side of the bracket, right? It's going to be really short odds, but is that maybe the best bet on the board, or are some of these smaller schools or dogs a little bit more live? Because I don't know about you, Gil, but I didn't hear anybody rattle off any of those names.
Coastal was the only team
Coastal,
I even considered.
Yes, right. Because they rated out highly, right, on some of those sites.
Right, they rated out highly, and their odds were such that you might have considered a bet.
Right, yes. Yeah.
But in the end, no.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that plays out. All I had was, I had Florida State. They won the regional, so that was good enough. A little plus money for me on college baseball. But like you, I wasn't running to add anything yet, at least.
No. There is one other sports story that broke this morning, a sports betting story that broke this morning that I just want to throw out before we move on to NBA and other things. So this Illinois state tax, David Purdom, do we have the tweet from David Purdom? David Perdom does such a great job at ESPN covering the sports betting space. He tweeted this out in the wee hours this morning, because this was something that was you know, put forth and passed in the wee hours in Illinois. But there is going to be now, it is official, a 50-cent tax on every single bet. Every single bet. So this is a little different from what was reported last week, where it was, oh, the first 20 million bets in the state of Illinois will have a 25-cent tax, and then thereafter it'll be 50 cents. Now it's 50 cents for everything, per David Perdom. And this is, you know, Crack and I have talked ever since, you know, PASPA was ruled unconstitutional in 2018 and, you know, paved the way for legalized sports betting in the U.S. I've used the phrase on any number of occasions, oh, this is the very type of thing when it comes to, you know, sportsbook behavior. This is the very type of thing that will push books offshore. Well, now you have a governing body that, because they want to do mass transit, I believe it's all for funding public transit and public, arteries there in Illinois, they have decided that this is the way to do it, to tax betting 50 cents. Robert Walker, the director of operations at ARMS, used to be my buddy Jay Rood's boss over at MGM. He puts it best. He says, it confirms exactly what I've been worried about. The tax push through in Illinois sets a dangerous precedent. Expect other states to impose similar taxes on licensed sportsbooks whenever they need quick revenue. He was a sportsbook director for the Mirage for more than a decade. He says it comes at a time that is particularly challenging. I agree with him, for the legalized sports betting industry, because you have, you know, the exchanges of the worlds like Kalshi and ProfitX making inroads as well. If only there was a state like Nevada that had provided an economic model for sports books to work out. But in Illinois, it looks like it's going to be passed on to the consumer. Good God. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out Greg Peterson's MLB Best Bets, U.S. Open Prop Bets, and Steve Mackinnon's MLB Bullpen Update. And later today, you can check out Thunder Pacers Game 3 Previews, Wes Reynolds' U.S. Open Preview, and Lou Finicaro's UFC Picks. All up at VSiN.com. Right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99 to get full access to all VSiN articles. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside here on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. You know, we talked, I want to get back to sports, actual sports, and sorry to have run that last thing that I talked about into a wall, because we were talking about actual sports, but I do want to just seize on this one more time about the state of Illinois here. Let's show the David Perdom tweet that we did. Oh, do we not? We didn't get it again. But essentially, FanDuel will begin charging a 50-cent transaction fee. You guys took it off the screen now. Anyway, it's FanDuel specifically is going to charge a 50-cent transaction fee on every single bet in the state of Illinois. And
starting September 1st.
Starting September 1st. That was announced today by their CEO. And, you know, when this story first broke again last week, when it was, oh, first 20 million bets, 25-cent tax, and then after that, 50-cent tax. Again, Nevada has had a model that has worked for sportsbooks and bettors for years and years. Complain about Nevada however we want, but the economic model The economic model has worked, right? By the way, the transaction fee, in a response to a recent tax increase on sportsbooks in Illinois. So essentially what FanDuel has decided to do, because the initial speculation was, okay, so it's one thing for the government to then, you know, to pass this transaction fee, right? To put this tax onto the sportsbook. But then it's up to the sportsbook to decide how to then follow through with this.
Right.
And so some speculation was, okay, take a shop like Circa, which is better intentioned, let's say, have better intentions than, say, a FanDuel or a DraftKings does. I think we sort of all agree on that. Circa may choose, right, to eat it in a more creative way, right? And I'm just speculating. They haven't said anything, but there's creative. You might not get as big of a bang for your buck on some of your bets, right? Let's just say there's a way that's still going to, you know, still gets past the consumer, but not as blatantly as this, which is just, here you go, 50-cent tax, buddy. Too bad. Robert Walker, who I mentioned, who used to work over at the Mirage and is the director of arms here, is one of the bodies that tries to better sports betting. He says this feels like short-sighted revenue grabbing that could drive casual bettors away from legal regulated platforms. He told Front Office Sports exactly the opposite of what good policy should accomplish. He expects sportsbooks to respond by raising their minimum bet requirements, meaning that sports bettors are the ones who will ultimately feel the tax. Quote, make no mistake, the cost will ultimately land squarely on the customer. The tax may be levied on the operator, but basic economics tells us who really pays. What's particularly frustrating is how this undermines the competitive position of regulated operators just when they need every advantage they can get against emerging alternatives, like I mentioned, like exchanges and other things like that. So that's bad, folks. That's all I have to say about that, because especially if other states, because you know how these folks are, they're copycats, right? And if they get it in their mind, if a state decides we need to fund whatever public project, let's put it on sports bettors. Let's add that charge there. And then the sports books are quickly have to turn around and figure out, oh, no, how do we stay in business? Let's pass it on the consumer. This is just a web of crapola.
Is that what they're specifically citing for the reasoning of this is for Publix Works?
In Illinois, it's public transit. It's a whole thing. It's a whole project that they needed.
Yeah, cool.
They needed money quick.
Cool, but this was supposed to be the benefits of having legalized sports betting in the first place was to go fund these exact type of projects.
This is what happens.
So you are you're mishandling your own money somehow that you're bringing in with your tax revenue.
By the way, and the offshores and the people where the money will obviously, their counter argument could be, well, if we now need to raise the minimum bet, this will solve some of the problem gambling of people who shouldn't be betting anyway. No, those people, by and large, will just raise their bets, right? Mm. So it will become even more of a problem. So any sort of response. But this is what happens, Kelly, in any industry where people who are not veteran, whether it's the government or the books themselves, who are not veteran enough in an industry to do the smart thing, this is what happens. And it just becomes this spiral, and it just gets worse and worse. And this is awful.
It just feels a little greedy. I'm not even going to really complain. And by greedy, I mean the state. I'm not even really blaming the sports book.
In the case of FanDuel, you don't turn around and just go, hey, it works. We're not even disguising this.
You got to do something, though, right? If they got to do something, whether it's the parlay odds or whatever, like you talked about, changing something. It's
the government first, for sure, though.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is I think that they're going to, and like you said, all the copycat stuff, right? So let's see where else this goes. But what's going to happen eventually is you're going to get this snowball effect that they're not going to see coming. Because like you said, Gil, these people don't know. They don't know, right?
Show the Fezzik tweet if we could. Our buddy Steve Fezzik. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You try to get away with one extra thing at a time. And all of a sudden, before you know it, nobody's gambling on these legally sports books anymore because they found a better way to look to go to.
Fezzik, our buddy Steve Fezzik, very likely books will. He tweeted this last week when the first reports of this came in, which wasn't as quite as egregious as we have found out it is. He goes, very likely books will eat the cost or raise minimum bets to above $10 with a 5% hold that would allow them to pay the 50-cent tax on a $10 bet and still only break even. Bottom line, it's like raising the gaming limits at a casino to a mid-level just to be able to play. Well, number two, he's absolutely correct about, right? A $10 5% hold means 50 cents right there, so they could break even at a minimum on a $10 bet with that tax. But the eat the cost part is they're not going to eat the cost. That's what they're telling us. So number one is incorrect. That's what we've learned this morning. They're not eating the cost. They're passing it along.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. It becomes interesting because you wonder how much of a, like, is that kind of a warning from FanDuel almost, right? Of like, hey, we're going to put this in place now. Other states, just be aware, like, this is what's going to happen. Your customers are, your citizens of the state are not going to be happy having to do this.
Or it's like that DraftKings thing from last year. Remember, they floated something and the backlash was such, like, oh, we were just kidding. We were never kidding.
Right.
Well, I can't remember what the details were.
I don't remember what it was either.
Yeah, but that's exactly what happened. So we'll see.
We'll see. This could be, this story could be done by today. You're right.
This is a legit thing that has been passed now.
Yeah.
So they got to figure out something. Anyway. To the NBA Finals.
It's fascinating. I know we got to move on, but this is a story that goes back to before this network existed, right? It's part of the reason what you talk about you and Jorge waiting around day after day, waiting for PASPA to get passed. And we were all wondering, all of us who were betting, how would this be handled from day one and on, year after year? What would change? How would it be handled? And these are not good signs.
No, and again, like what has been my biggest rally cry, me and Crack have talked about forever, is the profiling, right? The legalized sports books have no clue how to profile bettors. So they're kicking out people that would have been long-term losers, but because they have like a one weekend of winnings early, they're like, oh, we got to get rid of this person. No, you're costing yourself so much money. You're leaving so much money on the table because you have no idea what you're doing even in that, right? Whereas an offshore can profile you perfectly. Anyway, it's just, yeah, okay. NBA Finals, Game 3 tomorrow night. You have lots of Oklahoma City Thunder futures.
Yeah.
What's your longest number?
Plus 130.
Sphincter a little more relaxed now?
Man, I'm okay. I mean, Western Conference was the big, those were the big bets we were adding all year. I didn't bet the Thunder to win the finals.
Oh, you didn't?
Till the middle of the Denver series.
Okay.
So I have them plus 130, plus 120. Just riding those for right now. I was on Oklahoma City game one. That was a fun ending. That was wild Thursday. I believe you and I were texting because I was waiting to get into. You should have seen me. You would have laughed your ass off. I'm dancing in between, waiting for a table at Carbone, and running out to that other bar that's like around the corner to catch the ending of the game. And then running back and forth to check on the table.
The Bardot Brasserie.
On that other side.
Yeah.
That sucked. But Thunder bounced back game two.
It sucks, boy, because you did make a futures bet on that.
I had a game one bet. We had some stuff that, Matt was in here while you were out. We're talking about Thunder leading into the series. Obviously, I liked him game one. We were talking about different ways to bet the Thunder at a cheaper price in that massive series.
Do you like
him
here?
Price.
Game three? 5.5?
Nah, actually, I was a little bit surprised on this number. If any, I'd be leaning Pacers at over 5.
A lot of points.
It's a lot of points. You go with game one point spread. This is a little, we thought this was going to be below 5. Little surprised that you're catching that based off of where'd we close? 9.5 game one in Oklahoma City. I know that was violently different in game two after they lost game one. But you kind of look back at that. And then, if you're into the whole zigzag theory, Indiana coming home. I would think this is the spot they're most likely to get another win.
This would be
game three.
I just want to emphasize it again because I know Oklahoma City crushed them in game two, so we're just kind of, our mind is off the ball here. But if the Pacers pull this off, it's maybe the greatest run of any postseason we've ever seen.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
And this sports fan who is not financially invested in this tournament, in this series as a whole, I'd love to see it. Would love to see it. Baseball with Mark Borchard next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Caught you drinking there, didn't
I?
Deposit $25 and EdgeBoost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. 3JackH3131. Wow, a contentious opening to ANG this morning. What a welcome back to Kelly. Side note, Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season, so make sure you factor that into the Kelly intelligence-powered handicapping. Have a great day.
The KI technology.
Jamie Leva, Kelly and Gil back like they never left. Let's have a day, boys. Everything in my toy department of life is good again. This just feels right. And he's got a little picture there of or a little meme of Peaches and Herb singing Reunited. I had a big time crush on Peaches when I was a kid. Dan Groeschel, thanks to Matt Grissom for his February 10th appearance on ANG. I cashed Arkansas racing the college reaching the College World Series and still have them to win it all at 15-1. Woo pig suey. I think that's right, right? Well, maybe not the way I said it. Jimmy O'Connor, what's your guess on the percentage of PPH sites that pop up in Illinois now? Oh, it's going to be massive. Todd Bubba Horowitz, illegal bookmakers are having a party in Illinois. Their business will be booming. Not only is Illinois one of the highest tax states, they want to destroy a great revenue stream. Politicians always screw up a good thing. Bud Holhertz, if only the close Illinois residents had a neighbor getting legalized betting soon. Oh, wait, Missouri's 10 years behind as usual, he says. Jack Olaquire, Gil, not only is Illinois governor taxing every bet, every home delivery is taxed $1.50. Pritzker is the worst governor. Sam Ginsburg, they're 50 states, and based on ratings on their debt, Illinois is either 49th or 50th. My larger institutional clients won't touch their bonds and haven't wanted any of their bonds for 30 years now. It's a poorly run state, and it doesn't surprise me they're grabbing money. Judd O'Connor, I can already see the promos. Get your first 50 wagers free of transaction fees. Gone are the risk-free wagers and deposit bonuses. It's a great tweet.
That is awesome.
Doug Tuttle, FanDuel, one of the worst books for anyone that wins. As long as you lose money, you won't get limited. They're the literal definition of risk adverse. Eric Berg, Illinois local bookies have never had a better day. Doug Tuttle, truth. They're sending people back underground. Joe C714, for someone who wagers around $100, that's why I stay away from. That's why I stay away and at far away places. I wouldn't pay 50 cents tax per transaction. Now that there's more legal books in the states, they're giving away more promos and rollover bonuses offshore, he says. Eric Berg, instead of raising revenue, it's about to take a massive hit instead. George Cox, what do you do if you have been limited to less than $10? Moneyline Marv, DraftKings warned people. Oh, the DraftKings thing he said last year. Thank you, Moneyline Marv. He says DraftKings wanted people to pay a $9.99 monthly subscription in New York for better odds to combat the 51% tax rate. I do remember that. I don't remember the subscription fee, but I remember there was about that tax rate. Off in the dark, Gilly saying Fez was incorrect on something. Uh-oh, set the Friday agenda. Steve kicking off, spinning what he said to look mostly correct. And then Teddy Rack. This 50-cent tax on every bet is a complete money grab in Illinois. They're going to tax everyone in the state because of the mismanagement of the CTA and RTA in Chicago. The tax will only benefit the people in Chicago. I'm talking about the politicians. We could go on and on. There is, if we ever thought that that was a subject that people aren't interested in, we have 50 tweets on it. Let's talk some baseball, though. Much more fun subject. Mark Borcher joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. And he joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Gil. It's been, gosh, a fast season. It's already, what, June 10th? So, I mean, season flies by.
Season flies by. I couldn't help but notice you're wearing a Braves shirt. The Braves get off the schneid in the month of June with a victory after going 0-7 to start the month. I wanted to ask you specifically about your Diamondbacks because Todd Wishnev was on the show yesterday. By the way, I thought he had a spectacular appearance talking about bullpens and in-game ways to bet certain players, certain teams we seized on. And one of the things was about, you know, the Diamondbacks bullpen. And sure enough, right as, you know, I was mentioning, oh, four of the last five games they've given up. Or I think that was the Braves, that four of the last five games they'd given up runs in the ninth and beyond. But we talked about how bad the Diamondbacks bullpen is, too. And sure enough, last night, four runs in the ninth. They end up winning in extras on a Josh Naylor grand slam to beat the Mariners by four after all. But they gave up four in the ninth. Does the Diamondbacks bullpen give you pause? Because no one has been more bullish on them than you.
Does it give me pause? Yeah, it does. You know why? Because they've lost, like, two of the top five bullpen guys in baseball coming into the year. AJ Puck, and I don't know how long he's going to be out, but they lost Martinez last night, and it doesn't look good. If you watch the game last night where Martinez hurt his elbow, it's almost similar to Corbin Burns' injury, which is just, it's so disappointing, not just from a betting standpoint, because I've got a lot of futures on Arizona, and that's disappointing as it is, but just as a fan of Arizona, I thought they made a really good play getting Burns to stay here, signing him on a long-term deal. And then they just got, you know, pardon the pun, but snake bit, he gets injured. He's going to be out till like middle of next season. And then to kind of rub salt into the wounds, if you look at that, when Martinez got pulled out of the game, it's almost identical to what happened with Burns. I hope the guy's okay. I don't think he is based on, and you know, that guy's like a, for me, he was like a, he might've been the best closer. He was like a 63 base winner number. And he kind of was the guy that kept that bullpen at about like maybe just below average a little bit. But they lost Gainwell. Ginkel didn't pitch very good too. He was really good last year. So it just goes to show you that, you know, sometimes you can have the best numbers going into a season. And if guys get hurt, then you're kind of funked. But yeah, they're concerning that Arizona team. I went with him last night on the first five, but I don't know. I don't know if I'd play him a full game, Gil.
Kelly, just to be clear, FUNKED.
Oh, Mark's got the funk.
There was, you know what, Gil? There was a song called Funk Dat. I always remember that song.
No, that I don't remember. Funk Dat.
I'll have to send it to you.
I'm sure you're all over that. By the way, Diamondbacks minus 125 favorites tonight against the Mariners.
I bet you some people that are on Twitter like remembered the Funk Dat.
Of course they will. Of course they will. Do you have a play on the Diamondbacks tonight or in any other game? What did you land on?
You know,
today?
If I was going to play this game, I almost played Seattle, and I just said I'm not going to play against the Diamondbacks. I just don't want to do it. But if I were to play the Diamondbacks game, I'd play Seattle. I actually have a little bit of value. Diamondbacks are favored minus 120. I don't really see it. Brian Wu, one of the best pitchers. So as far as that game goes. Oh, I think this, you know, let's talk about your San Diego Padres, Gil. I think
not
this
anymore.
Game,
yeah.
No. I guess, you know, what is your team this month?
Detroit Tigers.
That's a beautiful thing. Well, so I'll talk about the Detroit Tigers. And I think Baltimore has a little bit of value today. So I'm going to play against your team just because I'm an a-hole. I'm going to go ahead. I've got this game priced as a pick'em. And I think Baltimore's bullpen is undervalued. You look kind of like at their expected metrics. Last strikeout percentage, last 150. Walk percentage, last 300. They're I think top 10 at least. So I'm gonna go with Detroit. But let's give you the base winner parlay for the play of the show. First five Washington and first five Atlanta. That's why I have the Braves shirt. And I'm gonna play them both plus a half a run on the first five. And you got to win, but when they win, it's going to pay plus 168. So those are a few plays here for your guys.
Okay. So just so I clarify here, so you have the parlay that you just get. Kelly needs to write these down.
No, I've got these. Would you like me to clarify?
Yes.
That's
please.
Okay. He'll text me like right in the middle of my show.
So it's the Braves and who in the first five parlay?
Nationals.
Nationals.
Okay, Washington with Gore plus a half run first five. And then Atlanta plus a half run first five.
Parlay.
Okay.
Yeah, plus 168. You know, Mackenzie Gore, like, he's got this the best base winner ERA in the National League. I don't really hate that play for a Cy Young. I think he's in there. Like maybe it's four. It was 40-1 last week. I don't know where it's at right now.
Well, I talked about him with Wishnet brought him up yesterday. Mackenzie Gore. I want to get this right. Against left-handed hitting, 42.7% K rate. 42.7%. Only Jesus Luzardo has a higher one at 44.4%. So it's that parlay. Then in your finest, deepest dive reasoning ever, you are fading the Detroit Tigers. That was awesome.
You know
on the
what?
Orioles.
I actually have value on the chart, Gil.
Okay.
But I wanted to keep it relevant because I know it's all, you know, every month it's all about the team that you have the future on.
That's
so,
right.
Like, I brought that back in, right?
And then, then you started to say something about the Padres. Did we get to a pick there?
I don't know because I kind of was all over the place. But I like the over in the first five there. I think both pitchers are below average, and then I've got both hitting teams in the top five, close to the top five. The Padres are sixth, and the Dodgers number one in baseball from a offensive standpoint. Gil
Mackenzie Gore 35-1 Cy Young
35-1 Mackenzie Gore of the Nationals. Mark, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. I don't appreciate your anti-Tigers pick, but I respect it nonetheless.
Gil, if I lose my bet, I'll still be happy for you. It's a win-win.
Thank you very much. It's very kind
of you.
It's
like the emotional hedge, yes.
Yeah. Mark, by the way, when I was out last week, they told me you had like 55 bets. What's going on with that? I'm gonna keep prying for more bets now when you're on.
Thanks, Gil. Appreciate it.
Mark Borchardt at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. We'll come back more on the NBA and beyond. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget to check out the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to take a look, sharpplays.com. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Again, flooded with tweets about Illinois and the tax. I don't want to go through all of them, but I will go to some others. Dell Mind the Gap Radio. Funk that an a-hole classic TV early morning must viewing. By the way, there's a pitching change now. Evans pitching, not Wu. So those numbers on that Braves parlay may have changed for Borchard. So let's check that out before we post anything. Brian M., ANG word of the day, funked. Previous words of the day, shilt and tats with an A. As we skirt around
the line,
it.
Yep.
Los Vegas 514, yo, he says, RIP to Sly Stone, pioneering leader of the funk band Sly and the Family Stone. Yes, pouring out a 40 for Sly Stone, who passed away at the age of 82 yesterday. I don't know how much Sly Stone means to you, Kelly, at your tender young age, but I would consider him to be one of the more underrated artists of the last century. Songs like Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, Everyday People, which Arrested Development remade, of course, Dance to the Music, Hot Fun in the Summertime, of course, so many hits, and just absolutely great music from the late 60s primarily and early 70s, RIP to Sly Stone. I could sing some, but I'm not going to do it.
No, go for it.
I want to sing the Larry Graham parts only. Because those are the cool parts of all of them. Anyway, so I did want to shout that out. So thank you for bringing that up, Los Vegas 514. We do have Keith Fournier wants to add a balanced viewpoint on the Illinois thing. I will do the other side of this, right? So Keith Fournier points out, he goes, Illinois resident here, 12 years now, strongly left-leaning in my politics and pretty squarely casual better, who moved from illicit to legal books upon legalization. My perspective, for what it's worth, to maybe offer some balance, both things can be true. One, this per-bet tax is a dumb idea and will likely not achieve its desired effect and also drive bettors offshore. But two, Illinois is in better financial shape today than it was 12 or 8 years ago. 7 straight balanced budgets and improved credit ratings. Oh, I'm not. Those were others. Those were other tweeters who were commenting on Illinois at large. I have no knowledge of Illinois budgets or politics in general. I'm just referring to this one matter.
Yeah, but if they keep abusing this, it's going to drive business away from the books, and the books
Absolutely.
Will leave the state.
I'm only commenting on our little corner of the world, and for our little corner of the world, it's mayhem.
Part of the reason it's been good for the past 7 years is because of what sports betting's brought, the money that's brought into the state. And now you're going to possibly lose that.
It's brutal. All right, you want to talk some U.S. Open?
Do it.
Do we do country clubbing?
Let's do it. We do not have country clubbing.
We do not have country clubbing.
Do not. I'll go to full preview
can
tomorrow.
Can we do? Maybe we do. Maybe we do.
It's an interesting tournament, Bill.
After Alcaraz and Sinner, can we even include tennis as a country clubbing sport anymore? Because that was gladiator stuff.
That was great. Yeah. That was great. I didn't catch the whole thing, but...
You could have left L.A. by motor vehicle when the match started and arrived in San Francisco, and it would still be going on.
Yeah, it was long. It was long, man. Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Look, U.S. Open. Yeah, and if that's you want to call that a gladiator fight, this is going to be them. This is going to be them battling Oakmont this week.
I love this. This is what I want to see in a golf tournament.
Yep.
I don't want to see 22 under.
I hear you. I don't mind what we call the birdie fest. I don't mind the birdie fest. I just wish they were mixed in more often. There's just too many of them.
Mixed in less often, you mean?
Yes, less
because
often.
That's how
There's
it used
just
to be.
Too many
Once
of
in
them.
A blue moon, right. You'd have one of those tournaments. You're like, fine.
Fine. You want to go to Hawaii early in the season and put up 25 under for the first tournament of the year? Fine, go for it. But yeah, they need to mix in more of these tougher ones. But the problem is, Oakmont's one of the few clubs in the country where the members of the club actually push for it to be this difficult. Usually you have the problem of you got to design a golf course for both your membership and for the PGA Tour or a major to come in and use, and usually those two things can't be aligned because it's too hard for the members to play, but they love playing it. So yeah, you're getting a nice look if you're watching at home of what Oakmont's going to look like this week. And we are talking, okay, off the tee we'll start with here. This is what we're going to get this week. It is a very long golf course at only a par 70. You have 28-yard average wide fairways out there, and once you get into that rough, it is starting the week at 5 inches, Gil. Starting the week at 5 inches. That is not something you ever see during the regular PGA Tour schedule. It will start at 5 inches. We'll see where it's at by the time we get to Sunday. Don't worry, though. There's not any trees you got to deal with on this course, Gil. There's no water really at all. It's not a problem. How hard could it possibly be?
How hard could it be?
Here's the issue. Yeah. The rough is going to be trouble. There are trenches designed for you to, like, not be able to get out of. There are more bunkers on this golf course than there are on any course that you're going to see played this year on the PGA Tour. There's going to be a lot of sand play, a lot of scrambling just to make par. And then once you get up to the green, Gil, you got to deal with the toughest greens you're going to see all year on the PGA Tour as well from a putting standpoint. So I think we're going at 14.5 on the stimp meter so far this week. It is going to be fast, undulating once you get up on the green. So I have not filled out my card at all yet. I have started it. I think there's going to be a lot of commentary this week about whether you're looking for more distance or more accuracy off the tee. I'm going to take the cheap way out and say that you want both. You want both. You want a guy who can hit it far and accurate.
It's a very bold
stance. It's a bold
stance.
Statement, right? Yeah. It's both.
Very bold.
I am leaning a little bit more towards distance this week just because of how these fairways are so tight. You are going to have to deal with playing out of the rough regardless. And some of these guys with just the faster club head speed overall, even just getting stuck in the rough, makes it a little bit easier for them to play out of it. So I'm trying to figure out how to handle the top of the board. This is going to be the third straight major that I'm going to have said this at. Said it before the Masters, said it before the PGA. I think it is a very limited number of guys that can go out and win this thing this week. And the star players have really separated themselves. No more so than Scottie Scheffler, right? He's plus 275. I can't argue with those odds. He is the best golfer in the world. He's rounded into form finally this season. He's at the height of his game. And his skill set fits this course as well as anybody's out there. So,
but you can't bet him pre-flop at that number.
You can't bet him pre-flop at that number. In my opinion, I'm not
in my opinion.
If you were not betting golf every week, you only bet the majors. You pop in. I'm not gonna kill you for betting plus 275 on the best golfer in the world. I don't think it's terrible.
And then, like, what I mean by that is, you know, if he trails by four strokes after the first round, and you'll get a slightly more favorable number on him, maybe that's when you jump in. I just feel like if you miss out on plus 275 and the train leaves the station from the beginning, which is rare for the train to leave the station in a golf tournament from the beginning, you have to be okay with just letting that go.
You have to be, but remember what we've talked about these past couple majors. The live betting tax on Scottie Scheffler is a real thing.
That is true. You're not getting nearly the bang that you think
right.
You are.
But the one difference, I am glad you brought it up, because the one difference that we could see this week is just the volatility of the golf course, right? You could see, you know, Scottie Scheffler could... He could have one bad hole and be three over par, where maybe the leader's one under early in day one. Then you get a little bit better price. Scotty can climb out of that a little bit better.
See, whereas with Rory at the Masters, you did get the proper price.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Maybe I'm chasing that, maybe.
Look, I thought going into this, I was going to be... I knew Scotty was going to be short. I knew this was going to be the same conversation on Scotty. Love him this week. He would be my number one rated guy. Next up for me would be Bryson DeChambeau. I think price is right on with him, though. I think he should be 7-8-1 is what we should be looking at with him. And then I thought I was going to get a little bit sneaky this week, Gil. And if I was going to get close to what we got out of John Rahm at the PGA, I was going to be in on John Rahm. 12-1, though, is about right where I think I'd have him at as well. Rory McIlroy, like, I'll have my full card tomorrow. Rory McIlroy, look, it's been a bad couple tournaments in a row, Gil. But it was not that long ago that we saw this guy winning the Masters and tearing up the beginning of the PGA Tour season, and now you're all the way out to 12-1 on him. I won't be betting him this week. I think there are a lot worse bets that you could make, though, if you're just going to go in with one or two outrights than double digits on Rory with how short he was early in the season. I do have some Xander Schauffele interest. I have a feeling I'm going to end up in placement markets with him. Only two outrights that I have bet so far. Ludvig Åberg, I am going back to Ludvig. I think this is a course that can fit him well, and he's put together a couple tournaments now in a row where the iron play is coming back into form, and he's putting kind of all the stat categories back together. So a little bit longer price on Ludvig than what we've seen in a lot of these, I think, is a good play on him, 30-1 at DraftKings. That's a great price. And then I took a long shot, 100-1 on my boy Keegan Bradley. Another one where if he can put it together with what he's doing ball striking right now, he's got a chance.
Thank you for being the first person this week that did not mention Victor Hovland.
Yes, yeah, he'll be popular.
He feels very popular at 60-1-ish.
I think I'm going to be a little off from the normal golf betting crowd this week, but we'll see.
Chelsea?
Long shots today.
Can't wait. Long shots. It's called long shots. You got the whole crew with you?
Me and Wes Reynolds.
Glad I asked. Coming back, Drew Dinsick next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.